weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world. For those just tuning in, you're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. I'm Maddie Stover, a doctoral student in physics here at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign.
And I'm Trent Ford, Illinois State Climatologist at the Prairie Research Institute. And today we're talking about drought that's affecting Illinois this autumn.
Let's bring in another voice. Joining us now is Chris Evans, Forestry Extension and Research Specialist with Illinois Extension, to talk about the risk of fire. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Oh, happy to be here.
Yeah, Chris, so what do you do in your role as Forestry Extension and Research Specialist?
Yeah, so I work with landowners, with government agencies, nonprofits, really to help them get the information and the research and things they need to best manage their forest. And so I do a lot of public trainings, a lot of educational programs, a lot of answering questions, site visits. And then from the research side of things, it's really strongly applied research. So I use the research to answer those questions that people need to manage their forest. And it ends up being a lot of, you know, invasive species research, a lot of the use of fire, the use of thinning and things to maintain your forest is really kind of the focus of what I do.
And how did you first get interested in this type of work?
That's an interesting question. So I actually started my, college work as a wildlife guy. I was more interested in the animal side of things. But then when I was a senior, I took a dendrology class, and that's the study of trees, and then just fell in love with the plant side of the world. So I kind of did a shift in my graduate work, and then kind of just dove deeper into all things trees and tree ecology.
A little bit easier without the migration aspect for trees, right?
Well, they don't move, so that's kind of nice, right? Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to be there.
So, you know, focusing on drought and fire here, you know, we've had several field fires over the last several weeks across multiple counties in Illinois, and we still have several counties that are under burn bans.
Ford County EMA says the fire covered nearly 5 miles, and they also say at least 40 fire departments responded. Cullen's fire captain Jordan Spangler says farmers from as far as 20 miles away also came to help put it out.
Nearly 20 fire departments responded to a call outside Ryo, Illinois earlier today for a massive fire that traveled across multiple corn and bean fields.
Now to a safety alert, farmers in Champaign County may soon be joining forces with firefighters to combat field fires. As of this afternoon, the Champaign County Fire Chiefs Association started asking everyone to refrain from open burning.
Why does drought increase wildfire and field fire risk specifically here in Illinois?
Well, I mean, the big thing is drought has lower humidity, comes with lower humidity. Lower humidity just means the fuels are a lot more flammable. And so when you're doing prescribed fire or anything below about 20% humidity, fire behavior goes up exponentially. And it's just harder to contain those fires. Things burn faster, they burn hotter, they burn quicker. And so it just, the containment of it is just a lot more difficult. So it tends to spread faster.
And I mentioned that the field fires, especially around here where we have, in central Illinois, many thousands of acres of sort of homogenous kind of corn and soybeans field. But you're based in southern Illinois. I mean, have you heard or seen any kind of impacts of the drought conditions there or other more forested areas of the state so far?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen certainly some impacts from drought. We haven't seen many, wildfires necessarily this year. We have had those in the past, but other kind of drought impacts we're seeing on our forest is we have a lot of early leaf drop this year. And so a lot of our trees are dormant, going dormant, you know, a month earlier than they otherwise typically would. We may be seeing some mortality. I don't think the drought is severe enough yet to really kill a lot of trees. And then we do see some kind of reduction in fruit production, right? So a lot of our walnuts basically started dropping, early drop on those nuts kind of early on in the drought, and so they didn't kind of fully ripen. We've seen some of that with acorns even, where they're either smaller acorn size or they're just losing them before they're ripe. And so we do see that reduction in reproduction output in our trees due to the drought.
And so circling back to fire a little bit, as this drought, you know, continues to progress, how concerned are you about, you know, more fires in the future?
Our risk for wildfire is much lower than out west. So I think we're not really, we don't have much of the potential for these kind of stand replacing fires in these really big situations they have out west. So I'm not worried in that level. But if it does continue and we keep these dry conditions, particularly if we get a lot of wind, we certainly could see wildfires, you know, in the few hundreds of an acres. They're typically not as damaging to our forested ecosystems simply because our forests have evolved over the last about 10,000 years, kind of with constant fire in there. So I'm not necessarily worried ecologically, but anytime you have an uncontrolled fire, there certainly could be risk to, you know, structures or anything that's adjacent to the forest that could get burned. That's kind of more of a risk, I think, for us than kind of an ecological risk to fire.
And real quick, you know, there's yeah, I know enough about ecology to be dangerous, but the serotonous, right? That just means the type of trees that actually depend on fire for their, I don't know, thriving or whatever you may call it. I mean, in some ways is periodic drought and the fire that comes along with it beneficial in some ways ecologically to forests in Illinois?
It is. So our forests are typically classified as a central hardwoods oak hickory forest, at least our forest in the drier uplands. And that forest is what we call a disturbance maintained ecosystem that does need some level of impact, whether that's drought or fire or storm damage, something to kind of keep them in that state where the oaks and the hickories are more dominant. So yeah, I mean, historically we would have expected a lot of drought impacts kind of in pulses, a fire to set them back. So our systems really do need that at the right levels. So yes, I think they can be beneficial in terms of our native forest.
Chris, you talked a little bit about the impacts of drought that you're seeing on forests. Are there certain trees that are more drought resistant than others?
Yeah. So it would be any of the trees that kind of naturally grow on our drier uplands, on thin soils, on sandy soils. Those tend to be more drought resistant. So for us, it would be things like a lot of our oak species, especially our upland oak species, some of our drier site hickories, like shagbark hickory, you know, mockernut, some of those, as well as a few of the other trees that you'd really expect to see kind of in upland dry situations, right? So you could be black gums you might see in that area, winged elms, some of those. The ones that are probably more vulnerable to drought would be what we call the mesophytic species. And those are the ones that really like a little more soil moisture, a little cooler conditions, a little more humid environment. So that would be our maples, our tulip trees, basswoods, anything like that, hackberries. Those would be a little more vulnerable. And what you're in a prolonged or an extreme drought situations, those are the ones you would expect to see having those impacts or even having mortality before the drier site trees.
Yeah, and I know Extension, of course, Illinois Extension runs the Master Naturalist program. I know, and Chris, you're involved with them. One of the things I love to see when I'm looking at reports of conditions around the state, especially as we start kind of going into drought, I know the reports coming from a master naturalist when they're like, I'm watching my hackberries, right? Like they're the ones I'm watching first. So I was like, okay, this person knows a little bit about, you know, how different trees are responding to drought.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting to see the changes, you know, in a forest or be able to recognize that. We just, I'm way down in Southern Illinois, and it's been interesting driving back and forward from work to home because I go through some of these hills, and it's really interesting to see actually the pattern on the landscape of the trees reacting to the droughts. And so we tend to have this band along the side slopes of these hills that have turned red or turned brown and now lost their leaves much earlier than the whole rest of the hills. And then if you come in there and take a look, it's really where our bluff lines or our rock outcrop outcroppings are. And I just think those soils are so droughty, so dry and well drained that there's just no soil moisture there. And it's really stark on the landscape, this hard line that's all in the same elevation across these hills that are just showing the impacts so much earlier.
What are some of the other ecological impacts aside from, tree mortality?
Well, you do get just a general loss of growth in those. And so instead of just trees being, dying, as soon as they start getting that water stress situation, they kind of go into water saving mode. And so during the growing season, they'll close their stoma out of their leaves. And of course, the stoma is basically the little holes that are in the leaves that aid in gas exchange. And they lose water through transpiration, through the stoma. So closing them off basically is a strategy for the trees to kind of prevent water loss, and they can keep it in there. But the side effect of closing those is that they can't really do carbon dioxide exchange, and so they don't grow as much. There's not as less photosynthesis, less carbon sequestration, and so your trees are going to grow slower, start acquiring less carbon long before you see any other kind of visual signs of drought. And so, the loss of forest productivity is a big thing. But even on the ground with these dry conditions, you could have less grass growing, less herbaceous species in the understory, less productivity in that. And that has some big implications for forage for wildlife in the understory. You could have implications for nectar resources for pollinators. And it's just kind of everything like that shutting down or producing less within a drought situation, and then the impacts to the wildlife that need that.
You're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. I'm Maddie Stover with Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford. We're talking about the current moderate to extreme drought in our state with Chris Evans, forestry extension and research specialist with Illinois Extension. For a listener concerned about the trees in their backyard or maybe plants in their garden, what can they do to take care of these plants during the drought?
Well, the big thing is water, right? I mean, that's the advantage of having things in a manicured or a managed landscape, like a yard, is that we can overcome the drought through just simply watering them. And with trees, it would be fewer waterings that are deeper and longer. And then other things just to try to retain the moisture. So proper mulching underneath of the trees can really help kind of reduce water loss out of the ground. Getting grass and things from underneath of the tree through that mulching also kind of reduces some of the competition for the water, and you'll retain some more soil moisture. So that's probably the biggest simple thing you can do if you're a landowner and you're concerned about your trees, is just try to supplemental water them pretty deeply every couple weeks during the drought.
And this brings up this kind of I don't know, it's this competition here, this thing, 'cause at the same time that we have drought, we say, okay, water the trees to make sure they're doing okay. But a lot of municipalities also have either watering restrictions or sort of have voluntary conservation. So it sets up a lot of questions about kind of competition for watering. And so how should we think about when we have a drought like the one we are now, where it's September or October as opposed to June and July, partitioning watering for trees versus lawns? And should we even think about watering lawns at this kind of stage?
So I'm not a big lawn lover anyway, right? I tend to like natural settings, and so I think that watering trees at this time of the year, even if you're like me and don't really like lawns too much, is not as super as necessary as it is earlier in the growing season. Our trees are already kind of starting that shutdown process. I'm not too worried about big impacts this time of year. I think that you may see them go dormant, you may see them lose their leaves early, but we had enough soil moisture earlier in the year that I don't think, even if this drought continues throughout much of the rest of the fall, we're not going to see any significant tree mortality now, because I think the trees are already kind of in at the point of the year that if there's some severe drought, they're just going to shut down and wait it out. So I guess that's the answer, right? You know, I late fall droughts really don't worry me that much, with a lot of our trees.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
So kind of thinking about the fire danger again, how can people maybe on farmland or open land help to mitigate fire risk?
Well, the big thing is fuel continuity. So fires have to move from one site to another with, with active dry fuels. And so if you're worried about fire moving, maybe from your forest into your fields or from one land to another, building in fire breaks or having some way to make those fuels discontinuous so it's harder for the any fire that does escape to kind of move through the landscape. And that could be as simple as, putting in a disc line around your fields or putting in a disc line around the edge of your forest, making sure that if you have interior roads or trails, maybe even blowing the leaves off of them or something like that, just so the fire has a harder time moving through an area. It's probably most important around structures or around houses. And so that would be, if it's in your house situation and you're worried about that, any kind of leaves that are piled up against the edge of your house, get them out of there. Clean your gutters, for sure, of the leaves, so that way embers or something that may fall on your house from a fire won't catch that on. And then don't store firewood, like against a structure or against your house. Some of those simple steps like that can really lower the risk of any kind of fire that's happening moving in onto your structure.
We understand that drought can have other types of impacts, or at least affect how things like insects and maybe disease affect forests as well. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely. So drought is a stressor, right? So anytime a tree is under some level of stress, it reduces its defenses against other issues. And so what we often see following a drought or during a drought is trees tend to become more vulnerable to pest and disease outbreaks. And so even some of our native insects that impact trees, like the two-line chestnut borer, which is a pest on oaks, in their normal state, and when oaks are not very stressed, those insects tend to be what we call a secondary pest, which really only gets into trees or attacks trees if they're already in a decline, they're kind of over mature and starting to die. When a severe drought or some other stressor happens, those pests, even the native ones, can then move into these otherwise healthy trees and cause an outbreak and cause them to decline. And so we often do see that. We see kind of years following a drought, we see pest outbreaks, and we see some of that happening to trees. And one really good example of that, if you all remember the really, really bad drought of 2012. Right. So that was a very severe drought. It was kind of mid-growing season drought. It came along with really hot temperatures. And after that drought, we saw an explosion of the gouty oak galls and horned oak galls on our pin oaks. And if you've ever seen a pin oak tree, they have these big woody galls that kind of grow on the branches, these little balls that grow on there. It's a native pest, generally not a problem, but following that drought, for about the next 5 to 7 years, there was just an absolute explosion of those throughout central Illinois and drifting down to southern Illinois, simply because our pin oaks are lost their defenses from the drought, and then it allowed this pest just to grow to huge numbers.
So the defenses can be down for that long, like a period of years.
Yeah, it's interesting with trees. So a lot of times that the like severe drought impacts you don't see for a couple years. I think it takes a tree a long time to die. So we saw mortality of trees from the 2012 drought for about 7 to 8 years, 7 to 8 years after the drought. I think we were still experiencing tree mortality kind of as a secondary, from secondary issues like the galls and other things. But it kind of all traced itself back to the original kind of start of that decline spiral with the 2012 drought.
This is Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. I'm Maddie Stover with Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford. We're talking about the current moderate to extreme drought in our state with Chris Evans, Forestry Extension and Research Specialist with Illinois Extension.
My wife and I used to live outside of Carbondale and bought our first house there in 2016 and had two really nice older pin oaks that had these galls. No idea what caused them, but the trees were already, by the time we bought them in 2016, were sort of deteriorating, and we ended up losing them. And I actually, before you mentioned that, had never connected that back to any kind of stress, you know, 4 years earlier during 2012. So that's really fascinating and speaks to the complexity of how drought affects things like trees.
Well, and it's exacerbated when a tree is off, when is an off site, off of its ideal site. And so pin oaks particularly are a bottomland species, which means that it likes to grow in floodplains, in areas that have really abundant soil moisture. And so when we move those out of their kind of natural habitat, plant them in our yards, which are already normally less hospitable for any tree, and then we have a drought. So it's kind of got a double whammy. Not only is it in a drought, but it's a tree that's used to wetland situations now in a drought. And those tend to be the ones that are most vulnerable to those situations.
And so are you concerned about any plant disease or tree disease outbreaks after this drought that we're currently in?
I'm not. So not now, not yet. So this, you know, this even it's a pretty bad drought, but the nice thing about our forest in Illinois is they were born out of drought, right? So our forest, our oak hickory forest and things really kind of came out of about that super drought from about 8,000 years ago, and really kind of ever since then have had periodic drought, have had fires. So our forests are pretty resilient. So it takes a pretty severe drought like the 2012 drought before I really think we're going to have some widespread impacts. So I'm not that worried about diseases. Right now we may see some upticks of things like oak wilt on the landscape, but I don't think it's going to be severe, hopefully.
So are a lot of our forests in Illinois kind of co-evolved with a severe drought 8,000 years ago?
They did. So, you know, from about 12,000 years past, our forest in Illinois were basically, you know, spruce fir forests, kind of like you would expect in Canada. And as the glaciers receded, things dried up and we started getting these deciduous trees. And about 8,000 years ago, we had this really prolonged, very, very dry period. Some people call it a super drought. That's really what allowed the tall grass prairies to come in, and it drove our forest even more to these kind of dry adapted species like oaks. And so I do think our forests are very, very weather resistant in general, just because of that.
Well, Chris, thank you for joining us.
No, happy to be here. Thanks.
Chris Evans is the Forestry and Extension Research Specialist with Illinois Extension. Before we go, Trent, any last words you want to say about the drought?
Yeah, really most just to reiterate how complicated drought is and that it tends to be in the eye of the beholder. So as we move forward in our current conditions, if, and hopefully that is a when instead of an if, but if we get those wetter conditions that we need for through winter and into spring, you know, drought comes on in different stages and it also goes away in different stages. So even after a big rain, we may see the topsoil, maybe the vegetation kind of improve, but that at deeper layer soil, the base flow for streams, our reservoirs are going to need a prolonged period. So, you know, it's like Chris kind of mentioned, it's decent timing with the drought to minimize agricultural ecological impacts, but we're certainly going to want that prolonged wet, rainy or snowy period during the winter. So I guess that's all to say that what we should all hope for to not have drought in the summer is a cold, snowy, you know, lots of 35 degree rains where you don't see the sun for 5 days, right? And as you're suffering, as you all there are suffering through this terrible winter, just remember that you're making a sacrifice to make sure that drought's not there in the spring.
Yeah, so he can have a beautiful spring and
exactly, and
a summer of planting.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That's it for this episode of Weather Realness, the podcast about Illinois weather and climate. Next week, we're talking about how weather and space affects us here on Earth. You can learn more about how technology developed at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign recently blasted into space and how it will improve science. Weather Realness is produced by
Jeff Frame,
Trent Ford,
Steve Nesbitt,
Reginald Hardwick,
and myself, Maddie Stover. Funding for this podcast is partially provided by the Backlund Charitable Trust. Weather Realness is produced by the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Illinois Public Media. We'll talk with you again next week.